The obvious answer of what I should share is how to study the Bible, why we study the Bible. But I really wanted to get to the root of this question of why. Why do we spend time? Why do we devote time? Why do we invest in our spiritual development? And for many of us, we think of self-care. And I think our society and culture has kind of warped this idea of self-care. We think of self-care. And what are some of the things that we think of?
Pedicure.
What is that like? I don't even remember. Massages. I can't reach my toes anymore, so I don't remember what a painted toenail looks like. Massages.
Yoga.
Spa days. Time with children. For me right now, it would be going to the restroom by myself. And we all are in different stages of parenthood and what rest or self-care might look like. But we've also elevated kind of this, you know, needing to take entire weeks away to retreat, to recoup. And for most of us, that's not a reality. If it is, I want your life. Tell me, what do you do? But the reality is that's not what self-care looks like. And so we've kind of idolized this idealistic image of what self-care actually is. And we've also idolized this role of what motherhood, what being a woman, what being a wife looks like that feels almost unattainable. And for a lot of us Christians, when we think of the perfect woman, what do we think of?
Proverbs 31.
How many of you guys love that passage? Like, it's your favorite. You read it every day and you think, that is me. I am Proverbs 31. And then I woke up from that dream, and this is more of the reality of who I am. I'm not an early bird or a night owl. I am some form of permanently exhausted pigeon. And yet, we hold this contrast of really what the ideal woman is. We hold this contrast of the Proverbs 31 woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And then my children woke up that morning, and it was a little bit more difficult to walk in kindness and patience in the Proverbs 31 ideal, and I'm more of the exhausted pigeon, not an early bird or a night owl. And so thinking about how do we juggle this ideal role that we created within our society and our culture, and how do we still care for ourselves in a world that says, in order to be the perfect mom, you have to be this, but you also have to take weeks away in order to recoup and do yoga and have spa days and pedicures and manicures in order to attain this perfection. And I'm going to say, I don't know if it's possible. But I think that there are some things we can do in order to look at those things and make it a little bit more feasible. And so the first thing I'm going to talk about is, number one, just the reality. I actually was looking at this article from Newsweek, and I wanted to, like, run up and show my husband and be like, ha! I told you! Because this article actually was saying that across the world, women work 2.6 times more in unpaid, what was the exact thing? Domestic labor than men. Like, even working women work 2.5 times more than men. And I was like, this is the reality of the world we live in, that it takes more work because we have a lot more responsibilities. Not negating the man's role at all or the responsibility of that, but looking at ourselves of how do we juggle life? How do we fit everything into one day? Because I think sometimes this is what time feels like. Like, if you even think about time in and of itself, what are some things that we think about with time? Time flies. A waste of time. Time is fleeting. Time is an illusion. I think of some of the parenthood ones that the days are long, but the years are short. What are some other ones? You may delay, but time will not. Lost time is never found again. Never enough time in a day. That we have all of these things about time and the idea that it's fleeting. It moves so quickly, and how do we grapple with everything that we're supposed to get done? 2.5 times more on average of everything we need to do than the average, you know, man. Maybe don't bring that up at home tonight. Peace at home. But you get this idea of how do we fit it in? So we're going to talk about one thing with time. We're going to talk about negotiables and non-negotiables. Now, this lovely rice is your negotiables in life. Okay? This jar being your life and the time that fills it. And we think about negotiables in our life. And what are some negotiables? Like things that are don't necessarily have to get done, but we want to get done.
Well,
this is
the laundry.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that used to be in one bed.
I put it in
the
perfect gourmet meal.
Oh, the perfect gourmet meal. Does spaghetti count?
Yes.
Sometimes I feel like organizing.
Organizing. Oh, yeah. That's a huge one. Yeah. Yes. Organization.
Looking at like really high quality.
Quality time with each kid. Yes. That is a huge one. Anything else?
Finish a book.
Finishing a book? I've gone to audiobooks because I've pretty much given up on the reality of finishing one unless I can multitask, which they say is an illusion anyway.
Exercise.
Exercise? Yeah. It's negotiable.
Yeah,
I want to do something I really don't like, but I feel as a Christian mom, I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like a stand there while I wait it. I have to volunteer my time in my very busy schedule.
Yeah.
Also, the bathroom bill in November 6th, we need to repeal. These things we call me, wait, where's the woman and the children's safety? I have to stand for it. So that's the thing I really don't want to be involved, but in Massachusetts, as a Christian, I think I have to be salt and light. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. So volunteering or standing for different things that you feel like as a Christian it's your duty to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being up to date on the political candidate.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Yeah,
being engaged locally, being engaged nationally, being engaged, you know, all of those.
Staying in appropriate contact with all relatives and past friends.
Social media has really created almost this unattainable situation where you're like, I need to comment on everybody's thing, I need to keep up to date, I saw they posted a picture of this recital, I need to text them and ask them how that went, and so there's kind of this, like, how do you keep communicating? So you have all of these negotiables, and many times in our life, we fill our life with these negotiable things, right? And our life is already half full, and these are just negotiable items in our life. And then we have all of our non-negotiables. What are non-negotiable things that we can't compromise in our life, that we have to do in order to survive? I was going to say the same thing. I have to feed my children. Even if it's hot dogs and macaroni and cheese, I have to feed them to survive. What else?
Keeping up with all the communication with the schools.
Yeah, you have to communicate. That's just
paying for things for them online.
You kind of have to work in order to survive, to pay your rent, to pay for your kids' supplies, all of those kind of things. What else?
Sleep.
Yes. Some would test that theory. It my kids do frequently. But you need sleep. And we never get enough of it. What else?
Well, air, I mean, you have to put gas in your car.
Yes.
Unless you're lucky enough to have a car. You have to go to the grocery store in order to feed the children. You have to take people to the doctor. You have to, I mean,
all of these.
Walk the dog.
So you have all of these things. You have your non-negotiables and you have your negotiables. And sometimes your negotiables, hopefully, I hope you fit some fun things in there, right? Watching too much Netflix. Or whatever it is that you like to do. And we like to fill the jar with that. And then we try to fit our non-negotiables in. Can we fit them in? Because we feel like time is like this, so how do we fit everything in our schedule that we need to do and still feel like a human being? Any theories out there? How do we do this? Well, yes, I hope we have good partners. I hope we have a good community. You know, all of those things that really help. But I think also the way we fill our life and the way we do things affects our management and prioritizing of our time. If we first put in our non-negotiable things in our life and realizing that our non-negotiables for each person in each season of our life is going to look dramatically different, right? So for kids with younger moms or younger moms, maybe I have a younger mom, I don't know. You know, younger kids, that's going to look different than people that have, you know, newborns or whatever. So your time looks differently, and your negotiables, and depending who you are. Maybe for you, a non-negotiable is exercise.
Yeah, for an older parent.
Yeah, like, that's great. For you, that's what you need. For me, mine is sleep.
It doesn't always happen.
But then after you have your non-negotiables in, if we are able to then fill our life with the negotiables, how does it fit? Does it feel full? Do you think you could fit anything else in here, though? And yet you can. That I think sometimes, as women specifically, we think, how in the world are we going to fit everything into our life? And yet, sometimes, are we trying to fit the wrong things? Are we looking at life in a way that is unrealistic? Do we think some things are non-negotiable when in reality they are negotiable? And do we prioritize things that are not actually relaying in a healthy way to us being able to pilot our time in a way that is actually going to be fruitful? And so I think time is a huge, huge factor for us being able to live a life of self-care. You know, we look at our negotiables and non-negotiables, and then we think we can't do anything else. There's nothing else we can do. And yet, you can still manage to fit more in. And I'm going to say, I think that self-care actually needs to become more of a priority in our life, because that is how you're going to actually fit everything in. It's how you're going to manage your time in a way that is actually going to be life-giving. I saw this and it was really convicting. 5 minutes per day equals 30 hours per year. 10 minutes per day equals 50 hours per year. 15 minutes per day equals 91 hours per year. It progresses. But an hour a day equals 365 hours per year. The way we spend our time has an impact in our lives. You know, how many times do we scroll through Instagram or Facebook, and how is that adding up in our lives? You know, not saying you can't do that, but are we relaying that as a non-negotiable or a negotiable? And how does that relate to the way then we are able to feed ourselves? Any questions so far about time? No? Okay. Okay, so what do we do with this newfound sense of time? Since you guys have all the time in the world, it's not going to change the way we feel about time. But also looking at the reality that we do have large capacities when we're able to prioritize it properly. So what do we do with it? And this was actually something I really loved. I saw this, we retreat to advance. This is self-care. And I feel like this goes against something within us. Like, what? Stepping back? Why does that go against? Maybe we look at this and we think, how do you do that, though?
I think we have to keep moving forward to get anywhere. We have to keep doing.
Yeah, we have to keep doing, we have to keep moving, we have to keep getting things done.
It's hard to say no. And actually, my sister-in-law, I think I mentioned that last year, a good way of doing it. I was just talking to her, and she's like, you know what, my plate is like small this year. And it was a really cool kind of concept.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look flatter and you can get a lot of it and it don't work great. And she's like, you know, this has a little bread plate. I'm only doing, like, these things.
Yep.
And that was awesome, that, like, every year you have a different size plate.
Yep. No, I love that visual. Yeah, where does this majestical time fit? And I think that looking at our capacity and what we're able to handle, and sometimes what we need is a moment to step back in order to be able to advance fully, in order to be able to move forward in a way that is actually going to be productive. Because sometimes I think we feel like we have to keep moving because it feels like movement. It feels like advance. When in reality, we're just moving to move in the same place.
I feel like society has a lot, I think, people feel that they have to always be doing something to be grateful.
Yeah.
Or that you're vicious and you're not leading. And sometimes you feel like, I would love to retreat and get back into the afternoon to just fill my tank. And then you think, oh gosh, well, I'm being lazy, I can be doing this.
Yeah.
And other things I can do, but that guilt.
Yeah.
Then you just change your job to things.
Yeah.
I think that happens with parenting too in some ways. My oldest is only 5, so I don't have too much experience in this, but like, oh, your son's not in soccer, basketball, you know, Boy Scouts. I'm like, no, he's not. This is a lesson thing. I feel like there's already
myself,
like, oh, he's not in football. Oh, he's not playing sports and football. And so I'm like, I just know from growing up in this pressurized area and like pressure, like at work.
Yeah.
And I'm like, where, you know, I think when did it stop for our kids?
Not comparing.
Yeah, right.
Like, and I think that's a huge thing as women, as moms, as wives, that we look at the person next to us. My daughter went into kindergarten this year. It was like, what preschool did you go to? My home. That's it. you know, but there's this it's not like, you know, if they went, it's where they went is the question. Like, this automatic expectation of the things that you're doing is having to do. So yeah.
But the other thing too, I think since we're all here as moms, that's a very giving act, right? In my household, I'm very much, you know, in a position of nurturing not just my kids, but I would also say my husband. I serve that role, and then also professionally, that's my choice to do that professionally. But it is so this retreat to advance is so important when you are in a giving role, because your bucket can run absolutely empty.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what you were saying, that sense of guilt, I think being able to block out, gosh, you know, actually have to block out time to do nothing. Like to sit there, no social media, just sit there and quiet. It is such a luxury that we don't afford ourselves, and we don't afford our kids either. And like to your point about resisting over scheduling, allowing kids to just have nothing time and say that's okay to have nothing time. Mm-hmm. It's part of the restoration process.
Yeah.
Where the retreats restore.
Yeah. Yeah, that is often in our retreat when we're able to heal. It's often in our retreat when we're able to grow. It's often when we retreat that we're able to find a new strength that we didn't know that we actually had. It's often when we retreat that we're able to feel renewal. It's often when we're actually able to then move forward in a more capable position where we're actually moving forward and taking steps versus just into emotion. Because I think busyness is something we'll talk about in just a moment, but it's almost as we wear it like a badge. Like me being busy gives me a badge of worthiness. Like I'm doing things. And it has become an identity issue for many of us that we actually don't know how to stop, because it means we don't know how to be. We don't know where our worth, or we don't know where our value comes from. And so we continue to move because it gives that illusion of worth. It gives that illusion of value. And how do you stop needing or wanting that feeling? And so we're going to ask the question then, why we don't retreat. And we've talked about a little bit, but I think for some of us, it's a self-awareness thing. Are we actually able to identify what our negotiables and non-negotiables are in our life? And so when we fail to do that, we fail to prioritize. And if we can't prioritize, we can't delegate. And when we can't delegate, we're unable to identify what size plate we have this year. Is it a smaller one? Is it a larger one? What is our capacity in this season of life? And each year, each season is going to change. So if we're not able to identify those things of what is crucial and what is not, what are the things that we can let go? And for us, that's really hard because we like control, right? Okay, I like control. But, like, to let go means that we're having to let go of maybe things that we put value in our identity, or we put worth in, or inscribed as a place of honor in our life that we have to let go. Another reason we don't retreat, we give away energy we don't have. You know, we'll talk a little bit about this. Actually, I'll show you one of the quotes that I really like. Is that self-care is so important. When you take time to replenish your spirit, it allows you to serve others from the overflow. You cannot serve from an empty vessel. And I think that's what many of us do, is that we keep going. We keep serving. We keep moving forward. And I love what it says, you gotta nourish to flourish. Like, we have to take time to retreat, to heal, to grow, to strengthen, in order to be able to give in the way that's healthy. Because how many times do we feel like we're responding less than courteous, less than the Proverbs 31 woman, because we're exhausted, because we haven't slept, because we haven't taken time to retreat, and instead we've really created systems of burnout.
Like, it's become our new norm now that we get out of the place of the fumes that we ourselves are running on instead of out of a full tank. And so, really, we've normalized exhaustion. We've normalized burnout instead of retreating to recuperate and getting out of a full place in our life. Overestimation of our time and capacity. We talked a little bit about this, but I think, do we know how to say no? And I think this goes with boundaries. And why don't we like to say no?
Fear of missing out.
Yes. What else? It's true, though. Fear of letting people down, too.
And even parents can reflect that on their children.
Mm-hmm.
I might have done that. At the birthday party, and, you know, they included activities and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. What other reason?
Why do you not say no?
So you want to be helpful?
You want to be helpful,
but it is possible.
Yes.
Oh, that's a huge one, I feel like, especially within ministry or the church or even within, like, the different, like, the school system or whatever it is. You're like, well, I have this skill set. Why wouldn't I use it to serve people? And yet, they will suck you dry, people.
Yeah.
Like, there is no line that people will not cross when they need it.
Yeah.
And I think that just looking at the reality that we live in a world that, like, will keep asking and keep taking and keep taking, and it's us that is responsible for drawing the line. It's not them. We can't get angry at them for continuing to ask because there's a need that needs to be met. And so they ask, and they will take, and they will take, whether they are Christian or not, because it is our responsibility to draw lines. And so we have a lack of boundaries, which inhibits us then from being able to retreat and have a healthy scope of what we're capable of and not capable of. And my favorite one is Pinterest syndrome. How many of you guys have looked at Pinterest? This is actually a real medical diagnosis now. Did you know that? Like, counselors are treating moms for Pinterest syndrome. Like, is this not crazy?
Just looking at it too much and getting stressed out about it.
Creating an unrealistic ideal of what life looks like. My life would be Pinterest failed. But for most people, they look at these parties and they think that everybody has created this first birthday party for their, you know, for every child they have. Or they think of, oh, dinner every night looks like this amazing gourmet meal. And I'm like, nobody's seen, like, the tantrums. Nobody's seen that you let them watch TV for 4 hours in order to prepare that meal. Nobody has seen the meltdowns at that birthday party or the fact that the cake didn't even end up in their mouth but all over the wall. All they see is the perfect pictures, and they think that they need to attain this perfection, hence Pinterest syndrome. And it's a huge thing for moms because we like to compare, right? It's a huge thing for women. We like to look at, oh, what are you doing? That looks nice, and I can do that too, but better. Yeah. Like, you know, there's just this thing with, like, this competitive nature that Pinterest syndrome, like, we make fun of it, but we all do it because we all compare and we all struggle with guilt. I'm not doing enough. I need to be working. Oh, I need to be staying home. I need to be making dinner every night. I need to be spending individual quality time with my husband, with my kids. And I need to fold the laundry that's been sitting on my bed for 2 months. Instead, I'm just going to rewash it. You know, like, there's all of these things that we're trying to fit. And it's making us feel like we can't, it's inescapable. How do we retreat in the midst of all of these things that we're facing? And if we can't retreat, then we can't advance as women. We can't advance and move forward and demonstrate to our children what health is, what boundaries are, that they need time to. How many times I have to tell my daughter, maybe you just need a moment to yourself. Go to your room. Take just a minute to calm down. But we don't give that same measure to ourselves. You know? And so we really actually have to like look at, how do you retreat then? What does it look like to retreat? You know, if I can't go away for a week and have these mani-pedis and these spa days, and I can't have a 2-hour quiet time and read my Bible for hours on end and spend time in prayer or do yoga for an hour or however it is that you retreat, then how do we advance? You know, what is the answer of, like, what does retreat actually look like? And so I'm going to share two passages that I feel like really hit on this idea of where our source is. Because so often we look for our source or what refuels us or what is going to allow us to retreat in the best possible way. And it feels somewhat empty. We're like, well, I spent 5 minutes by myself and I'm still angry. What do I do now? So how are we refueling ourselves? What are we looking to refuel us? And remembering that we are whole people. We need the mental, emotional, physical thing. We want to be a well-rounded person because God has created us that way. But we also have to remember that we were created. So we have a source that we have to be able to pull on. And when we're disconnected from that, from this source that refuels us, then we're not going to feel able to advance because we're not refueling in a way that is actually going to bring life. So the first verse I want to share is actually in John 15:5, and it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What we draw from actually does matter. Where, what we believe is going to fuel us, is going to allow us to retreat, is important. Knowing our source is key to knowing how we are going to bring fuel to our weary souls. I think we sometimes want a magical formula. Like if you do this, this, and this, you will no longer be exhausted. You will no longer be that weird pigeon that needs extra sleep. And yet it's not like that. It's remembering who created us. It's remembering that we have a source. It's to think otherwise that is almost prideful. Because I think we want to do things on our own, right? I can do it. We're self-sufficient, we're independent, we can do all things through ourselves. But that's not the way the world works. We're dependent beings, actually. And I know we hate that word, dependent. But who are we dependent on? We're dependent on Him. We're dependent on our Creator. We're dependent on the source of all things. And when we detach ourselves from Him, then we detach ourselves from the ability to actually refuel, to actually find energy, renewal, healing, restoration. The second verse I want to share is actually in Isaiah. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And I actually love this verse because the story behind it is actually in Isaiah 39. The people of Israel have just been ripped from their home. in Israel and Jerusalem. They've been taken into captivity by the nation of Babylon. They no longer have the temple to serve or worship God. They no longer have their home or their comfort. Everything that they have has literally and figuratively been taken away from them. They are dependent on nothing. They have nothing. And yet you see this verse in Isaiah chapter 40 and this idea of where does their true strength come from? Who renews them? Is it what they have? Is it who they know? Is it where they worship? Is it even their families or their homes? No, it says, in the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. Now imagine everything you know being taken from you and this idea of not growing weary in that. Not growing faint when everything that you thought was comfortable is taken from you. And that's the point, is that when you have a source, no matter the circumstance, everything can be complete chaos. But if you're connected to a source that refuels you and renews you and brings healing to those empty, dark places, when you feel connected as the created to the Creator, there's nothing that's going to separate you. It's going to bring a renewal. And so how we spend our time, how we abide in Him, is actually going to affect us. So how do we practically walk this out? How do we abide in Him when life feels too busy, when boundaries feel blurry, when time feels like it's fleeting and slipping away? How do we be the Proverbs 31 woman? She's clothed in strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And I think that that is, you know, Proverbs 31. I think you have this contrast in Proverbs where we think, man, that is not my reality. I kind of hate that woman because she's created an unattainable ideal, right? I don't think that that's what that chapter is actually about. I think that we live in a reality of brokenness. We live in a reality of messiness. We live in a reality of dirty dishes and laundry that hasn't been folded and kids that are going to have meltdowns. And we live in a messy, broken world. And yet, the Proverbs 31 woman offers this ideal, not to guilt us, not to shame us, instead of allowing us to see it, that there's something to attain, that there's always growth to be had, and that we can live in the reality, and when we retreat and when we walk in this connected to the source that we're given, we can move forward towards that ideal. We can move forward in growth and healing and advance towards God's ideal of the way we as women are supposed to walk. And I think we do that by, number one, looking at our time, recognizing and understanding that prioritizing and management is going to be helpful, while also being able to say what is negotiable and not negotiable in our life. We need to have self-awareness. How big are our plates this year? What is our capacity? What can we let go? What can we, what do we need to continue to work on? What is the ideal that God is asking us to kind of work towards this year? And then let go of comparison. Let go of the things that are non-negotiables. And how do we abide in the source? How do we abide in Christ that dwells in us, that is going to bring renewal to our spirit, renewal to our heart? And I think sometimes we're like, who has time to pray for like 2 or 3 hours? Yeah, Me either. I just don't. But I love, I think it is John Wesley's mother. She had like 17 kids. I have three, and I'm like, what in the world? How do you live with more? I'm one of five in my family, so my mom did it. I don't know how she did it, but she did it. But John Wesley's mother, actually, she would put her apron, like, over her head. And that was, like, the sign that her kids knew, like, do not bother me. Like, and that's how she would pray, is with an apron over her head. Like, the way we retreat is going to look different. The way we refuel, the way we pray, the way we spend time with God, it's going to look different in different seasons. Sometimes mine is putting in earbuds, doing the dishes, and praying. Or changing a diaper and praying. You know, like, and in different seasons, that's going to look differently. The way we dwell and abide in Christ is going to look differently in all seasons. The point is, are we doing it? Are we taking time to set aside? Are we allowing our husband to, or community to be a part of what we're doing in order to retreat? That's huge. Abiding in him is being a part of community. Being here is abiding. Being a part of other people's life and allowing them to see your vulnerability, to see your messiness, to see the fact that we have more Pinterest fails than Pinterest successes. And letting them watch our kids for 5 minutes so we can drink a cup of coffee without rewarming it 20 times. Mm-hmm. That is abiding. And I think one of the biggest things that we underestimate is God's truth. We underestimate that in order to be connected to the vine, to abide in him, to refuel, we need to actually read his word. And we've talked about this, we talk about this in the women's Bible study, is that God has given us two things. He's left us two things. He gave us his Holy Spirit, and he gave us his word. And so we need those two things in order to abide in him. We need to study his word. We need to abide in his word. We need to dwell in his word. Because it's through that relationship, through that intimacy, that we're actually going to be able to find our source that renews, that heals, that allows us to have the strength and grace to retreat in order to advance in our life as women. So I just want us to, I hope we feel challenged today that it is okay to take time to retreat. It is okay to take time to heal, to grow, to abide, to refuel, in order to move forward in a way that is healthy, in a way that is engaging, and in a way that is the Proverbs 31 woman. So let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you are the source, Lord. You are the vine that we get to abide in, Lord. I just pray today that you would show us how to truly abide in you, Lord. That you would be our source to refuel. That we would be able to look at our life and look at our schedules and look at the busyness, Lord. And I pray that we would get our value and our worth from you, not what we do. I pray that we would be able to look at why we don't retreat with clear eyes and see the areas that we need to let go of, see the areas that we need to stop feeling guilty over or stop comparing, and really truly abide in who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think there's questions. I don't know if anybody has any questions for me or anything you want to discuss. I know there's questions on the table. Or
yeah, we have, your small group leaders have a little list of questions, so we can go into groups so you can discuss.
Okay.
And, but yeah, if anyone has any questions for Rachel.
Or comments, or yeah.
I think I'm
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we want to model this for our kids, right?
If we're doing it in a healthy way.